Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with the perspective and tools to grow and change. Thanks for joining us today. You know, it's a pleasure to hear from so many of you who tune into this podcast every week. And as I read your messages, it's easy to see the common themes that extend across all of your daily experiences. And one of those common themes is the question as to whether you can persevere, or how you can reach your goals, or how you can find strength to face the challenges that you're currently facing, because for many of us, those challenges are significant. So today, I want to share something that has helped me, and it's a three-word phrase that I often say to myself. And this three-word phrase is, go the distance. 7 years ago, a friend of mine, Austin, a bright young man I met while he was attending college, was going about his day on a normal Saturday morning. He had been married just 2 months and was working as a data analyst. He got up early to take his car into the shop for some work. He attached his bike to the back of his car so he could drop the car off and ride his bike home. He was on his bike just 2 miles from home when he started descending a large hill. A Jeep was coming up the hill, and the sun had just kind of peeked over the mountains, Austin recalled. They were coming up the hill and needed to turn left to get into a parking lot. I was coming down the hill, and because of the sun, they were unable to see me. The collision that followed caused 9 broken ribs, a ruptured bladder, a dislocated ankle, a broken pelvis, and more gruesome injuries. It broke Austin's spine. He is now paralyzed from his navel down. I imagine Austin sitting alone in a hospital room, staring at a ceiling he had come to know all too well. The room was quiet except for the occasional beep of medical equipment. Outside the window, life continues as normal. Cars move through intersections, children go to school, businesses open their doors, and families make plans for the future. But inside that room, however, the future feels uncertain. Doctors had warned him that he would likely be paralyzed for the rest of his life and recovery would be long and difficult. There would be setbacks, there would be frustrations, and there would be days when progress seems almost impossible to measure. The injury and therapy have also come with excruciating pain and unexpected side effects. He says, "I don't think I can describe just how painful it is. The nerve pain," he said, "is the worst. The result of his body trying to communicate with immobilized extremities. He is prone to random spasms, and his body's temperature regulation is out of whack. 1 second I can be freezing cold and feel like it's 20 degrees, he says, and the next I can feel like it's 100 degrees and I'll be sweating." Well, Austin has been on a journey in which progress slowed each day to an extremely slow pace. "Getting used to a new way of life really sucks," he says. "Relearning how to sit up, roll over, get dressed, go to the bathroom, do chores, and get in a car are all very difficult. I still cry when I'm on my hand cycle and I pass a normal cyclist. I want to bike so badly. All I can do is hand cycle. There are days when I can't get out of bed because the depression is so bad. But I try to remember a quote by John Wooden that says, 'Don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do.' And this helps me because while I can't bike, I can hand cycle, so that's what I try to do." There is no quick cure or immediate success for Austin. It's a daily effort for the smallest of wins. And I think about Austin often because it illustrates a simple truth, that goals and life and reaching life's goals is rarely, if ever, found in a single effort, but instead is almost always found in whether we can go the distance. We live in a world that loves breakthrough moments. We celebrate grand openings and championships and billion-dollar companies. We often fail to appreciate it is the long journey that made those successes possible. Real life is not built around breakthroughs. It is built around continuation. Most successful people do not achieve extraordinary results because they make one extraordinary effort. They achieve extraordinary results because they continue making ordinary efforts long after the excitement has disappeared. Now, some of you listening to this podcast today are engaged in building a business or facing a major challenge in life. And your experience is likely the same as mine, that you wonder why there's no immediate breakthrough when it seems like that's what others get all the time. But the truth is that real wins in life happen to those who stay the course, who go the distance. I grew up in a time when the movie Rocky came out, and I remember a line from that movie. The scene has Rocky, who's talking to his wife, Adrian, the night before the fight with Apollo Creed. He's scared, and he knows he's outmatched, and he may make a fool of himself or even end up injured. When she asks him what he wants, he says, to go the distance. Then he explains why. If I can go the distance, and that bell rings, and I'm still standing, he says, I'm going to know for the first time in my life that I wasn't just another bum from the neighborhood. Stallone has said that Rocky was never really about boxing. It was about the ordinary person testing his limits and discovering what he is capable of. Most people interpret go the distance as perseverance. Rocky's definition, however, is a bit deeper. He isn't fighting to win the championships. He's fighting to discover who he is. And that's what happens when you go the distance. And this applies to marriage, parenting, leadership, business, faith, health, and personal growth. Often, the greatest victory is becoming the kind of person who can stay in the arena long enough to get there. The other time in modern cinema when the words go the distance have been famously used is in the movie Field of Dreams. Phil Alden Robinson was the director of several famous films such as The Sum of All Fears, Sneakers, The Band of Brothers, and more. Yet before all of that, one day, as a young, unproven director, he read a book called Shoeless Joe. The book was written by W.P. Kinsella. Kinsella, while on a trip to Iowa from his home in Canada, felt inspired to write a book about the unlikely pairing of Iowa and Shoeless Joe Jackson, a professional baseball player who was kicked out of baseball in 1919 and spent the rest of his life trying to get back into baseball. Shoeless Joe was perhaps the best baseball player of his generation, and he lost everything when he agreed to a bribe to throw the series. Even though Joe played to win during the series, hitting .375, he would fully confess to his mistake, and Joe and all of the other players would later be acquitted. Baseball never let them play another game, and Jackson would spend the rest of his life trying to find redemption. Well, Kinsella wanted to capture this narrative that we can all find our way back, that there is redemption waiting for all of us. So he wrote a book about an Iowa farmer who built a baseball field in the middle of his farm because he heard a voice saying, if you build it, they will come. And he would build that field, and Shoeless Joe Jackson would return to get back on a baseball field again. This farmer, who he named Kinsella, using his own name, was also looking for redemption in his own failed relationship with his father. Now, you may recall in the movie, Ray Kinsella hears three mysterious messages at different times. The first is the famous one, if you build it, he will come. Then, ease his pain. And the last was, go the distance. On the surface, go the distance is an instruction telling Ray to continue his quest and to travel the distance to find Moonlight Graham. It literally sends him on the next stage of his journey, but by the end of the movie, it becomes clear that the message is about much more than a road trip. The deeper meaning is that Ray must see the journey through to its conclusion, even when it no longer makes sense. He risks his farm, his reputation, his finances, and his relationships. At multiple points, he has every reason to quit. Yet, he keeps moving forward because he believes there is a purpose that he cannot yet fully understand. It is also the author's way of saying, to find reconciliation with your father, you must go the distance. That to find peace with people, it takes time and distance, and it does not happen overnight or through one dramatic effort. The movie's climax reveals that the journey was never really about baseball. It was about healing Ray's relationship with his father. Near the end of the movie, Ray realizes that the work and effort and faith and sacrifice then pay off when he finally asks his father, Dad, want to have a catch? And he receives the reconciliation that he's been seeking all along. Here's the point. The greatest rewards in life often come only after we continue beyond the point where quitting would have been reasonable when we go the distance. Now, you may be wondering, will it take me years to reach my goals and become who I'm supposed to become? Probably. Regardless of how long it will take, your mindset of going the distance will in fact empower you and help you deal with the challenges that are likely going to come your way. Many people think that accomplished people wake up every day energized and inspired and eager to pursue their goals. Yet if you spend enough time around these high achievers, you'll discover something surprising. They don't possess endless motivation. What they do possess is the ability to recommit, to know how to start again and again and again. Jose Hernandez was born in 1962 in French Camp, California, to a family of migrant farm workers. As a child, he did not live in one place or attend one school continuously. His family followed the agricultural seasons between Mexico and California, and he spent much of his childhood working in the fields, harvesting crops alongside his parents. He didn't learn English until he was about 12, and he grew up in an environment where college and professional careers were not common paths. Despite those circumstances, a defining moment came when he was about 10 years old and was watching television. He was watching the coverage of NASA's Apollo missions. Seeing astronauts walk on the moon inspired him to decide he wanted to become an astronaut. And from that point forward, the idea stayed with him as a long-term goal, even though he had no clear roadmap for how it would ever happen. Hernandez pursued education step by step, eventually becoming the first in his family to graduate from high school and college. He earned a degree in electrical engineering from the University of the Pacific, and later a master's degree in the same field. He went on to work in advanced engineering roles, including at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, where he contributed to medical imaging technology and other complex technical systems. After establishing himself professionally, his goal was still NASA. But getting accepted into the astronaut program was extremely competitive. He applied to that program and was rejected 11 times. Each rejection meant another year of improving his qualifications, adding skills, gaining the experience, and strengthening his application. But rather than abandon the goal, he treated each rejection as feedback on what to improve. On his 12th application, he was finally accepted into NASA's Astronaut Candidate Program in 2004. After selection, he completed astronaut training and eventually flew aboard Space Shuttle Discovery on mission STS-128 in 2009, spending nearly 2 weeks in space as a mission specialist. Now, what makes Jose's story powerful is not just the final outcome, it's the pattern underneath it. His goals took time. Each stage required him to begin again, first in education, then professional development, then in applications to NASA, and even in the years of preparation before his flight. You know, researchers who study long-term achievement, they've discovered something interesting. The greatest predictor of success is rarely intelligence or natural talent or even opportunity. One of the strongest predictors is the ability to continue, to recover from setbacks, not avoiding setbacks, but recovering from them. That distinction matters because discouragement is universal. Parents experience it. Entrepreneurs experience it, you experience it, students experience it, I experience it. Every meaningful pursuit eventually includes moments when continuing feels difficult. The question is never whether discouragement will arrive, it is rather what will happen after it arrives. Well, you and I both remember the weeks after COVID hit the world stage. At the time, despite COVID, there was hope and faith that a vaccine would soon come about. However, experts agree that if there would have never been a vaccine, the death toll worldwide may have been in the range of 10 to 20 million people. With waves of COVID, would have come healthcare system failures and economic fallout and other things that would have been significant. But the truth is that the vaccines didn't happen quickly. Here's the story. Shortly before midnight, on December 30th, 2019, the International Society for Infectious Diseases posted an alarming report online. A number of people in Wuhan, a city of more than 11 million people in central China, had been diagnosed with an unexplained pneumonia. Chinese researchers soon identified 41 hospitalized patients with the disease. Most had visited the Wuhan, South China seafood market, where vendors sold live wild animals, from bamboo rats to ostriches in crowded stalls. That raised concerns that the virus may have leapt from an animal, possibly a bat, to humans. Well, after isolating the virus from patients on January 10th, Chinese scientists posted online the genetic sequence of the virus. And with that posting, a number of scientists in the U.S. immediately got to work. How? Well, they were going to create a vaccine. They didn't need the virus itself to create a vaccine, they just needed the genetic sequence. It told the scientists what chemicals to put together and in what order. What the world didn't know at the time was that several scientists at two companies in particular had already researched and tested a new delivery system for a coronavirus vaccine. It had already been tested and proven. They were prepared for such a day. They had been in the depths of this research and testing for decades, and their journey was remarkable. Catalin Carrico grew up the daughter of a butcher in a small town in Hungary. Her father was a butcher, and this caused her to be fascinated with how living things work. As she started in higher ed, she chose to study biology, and it was during her undergraduate studies that she learned about messenger RNA. She continued to study mRNA throughout her PhD and postgraduate work. She was obsessed with it. In her words, if DNA makes up the letters of life, RNA creates the words, and ultimately, the sentences. In the natural world, the body relies on millions of tiny proteins to keep itself alive and healthy, and it uses mRNA to tell cells which proteins to make. If you could design your own mRNA, you could, in theory, hijack that process and create any protein you wanted. For example, you could instruct your cells to make proteins that were antibodies to vaccinate against infection, or reverse a rare disease, or to mend damaged heart tissue. Well, Carrico became convinced that messenger RNA could be used to help the body create its own proteins to treat disease. But as she started her pioneering work with mRNA, she hit one roadblock after another. You see, mRNA is unstable, and it doesn't last long in the human body. And she was searching for an answer when in 1989, she moved to the University of Pennsylvania to continue her studies. There, she labored for years, testing and retesting her theories, mostly without success. Then one day, she met an immunologist named Drew Weissman, and the two teamed up and together found a breakthrough. Weissman figured out how to encase the mRNA in a fat bubble, making it strong enough to last in the body, yet attractive to the immune system. And as a result, their research started to speed up. They developed vaccines for influenza, HIV, hepatitis, and Zika, and all were nearly 100% effective in lab animals. In 2005, nearly 16 years after she came to the University of Pennsylvania, Carrico and Weissman published their research. Then, another 8 years of testing. In 2013, Carrico joined two scientists who had formed a company called BioNTech to further the development of the technology. So, in January of 2020, 2 weeks after China published their genetic sequence for COVID-19, Carrico had a vaccine prepared for this new coronavirus. BioNTech knew they needed help to scale the tests and vaccine production. They had already spoken to Pfizer about teaming up for a flu vaccine, so they went to Pfizer, and Pfizer took the reins of the project, calling it Project Lightspeed. As the second largest pharmaceutical company in the world, Pfizer was capable of scaling better than any other company. And this meant building a new formulation suite or manufacturing capability in less than 100 days. They had to arrange shipping systems, preservation systems, and methods to get all their supply partners on the same page and do so really fast. And one of the biggest challenges was raw materials. You see, there was no supplier at the time for the key cationic lipid used in the vaccine, so they had to gear up to make it themselves. They turned to Melissa French, who had spent 27 years of going the distance as an employee of Pfizer. She was a mother of four, and she was prepared. For decades in various roles, she had met and worked with scores of colleagues, so she could reach across departments and divisions to get action that others could not. Well, together, Carrico Weissman-Pfizer and Melissa French were prepared with decades of capability building behind them, and their ability to address COVID quickly was only possible, you see, after those decades of work. The same goes for you and me. When we commit to go the distance, it's in that prolonged work that we find who we really are, and we gain the skills and other things that later in life will give us the ability to rise, to do really important things. So, if you're a bit discouraged at your progress lately, maybe you can adopt the simple mindset of go the distance. In other words, I'll stay in the game. I'll do my best. I'll learn and grow and not let today's lack of progress hinder me from tomorrow's efforts. Because that is what happens, isn't it? We look back at our lack of progress and question and slow down and lose steam. More than a century ago, steam engines powered trains, ships, and industrial equipment. These machines relied on steam pressure generated by heating water in a boiler. As long as sufficient pressure was maintained, the engine could continue to operate at full power. But if the boiler lost pressure because the fire cooled or fuel ran low, or there was a mechanical problem, the engine would literally lose steam or slow down or stop. Because steam pressure was directly connected to the machine's power and momentum, the expression lose steam quickly became a natural metaphor for people and projects. But the secret to not losing steam is to keep the fire burning. And that requires fuel, constant fuel to the steam engine. And this is the same for you and me. We need fuel. I think people underestimate just how important ongoing mental and emotional fuel is to any prolonged effort. One of the longest standing longitudinal studies of human beings and their progress in life followed people over decades and demonstrated that people who seek ongoing daily learning and inspiration were in fact able to craft a happier life. Now, I've personally learned this lesson in my own life. On my own, I would falter or give in to my mental questioning and doubt and discouragement. However, when I added a few minutes of reading or listening to my life every day, my attitude and the improvement in it is almost immeasurable. Remember, don't lose steam in your efforts. Give yourself the needed daily fuel. Jessica was born in 1992 in Russia. She was born with fibular hemimelia, a rare condition in which much of the bones in her lower legs were missing or underdeveloped. Her biological parents, who were living in pretty difficult circumstances, placed her up for adoption. At 13 months old, she was adopted by an American couple, Steve and Beth Long, and moved to Baltimore, Maryland. When Jessica was about 18 months old, doctors determined that her lower legs would need to be amputated below the knees. She underwent the surgery as a toddler and later learned to walk, run, and play using prosthetic legs. Well, as a child, Jessica was extraordinarily active. She participated in gymnastics and cheerleading and ice skating and climbing and swimming. Swimming quickly became her strongest sport. In the water, she found freedom of movement and wasn't limited by her prosthetics. And coaches noticed her talent at an early age. At just 12 years old, she qualified for the 2004 Paralympic Games in Athens. 12 years old. Jessica continued competing year after year. She trained through adolescence, through physical challenges, through changing coaches, through injuries, through the pressures that come with international competition. And over the next two decades, she competed in Paralympic Games in Athens, Beijing, London, Rio de Janeiro, and Tokyo, becoming one of the most decorated Paralympic swimmers in history. Her success was not created on podiums. It was created during thousands of ordinary practices. It was built through early mornings, difficult workouts, disappointing races, and years of steady improvement. You see, we often see the medals, but we don't often see that greatness is forged in those countless moments that nobody sees. That may be one of the most important truths about going the distance. The most significant parts of success are usually invisible. The public sees the harvest, but rarely the planting. They see the building, but rarely the foundation. They see the performance, but rarely the rehearsal. The visible achievement is only the final chapter. In 2010, 33 miners became trapped underground in Chile. For 69 days, the world watched as engineers, rescuers, families, and leaders worked tirelessly to bring them home. Hundreds of people contributed thousands of hours of effort. Plans failed. New plans were developed. Obstacles emerged. Solutions were refined. And eventually, every miner was rescued. What stands out about the story is that nobody knew exactly if success would come. They only knew they would not stop trying. That's how life works. We don't know when the breakthrough will arrive. We don't know when circumstances will improve. We don't know when results of our efforts will become visible. What we do know is that continuing creates possibilities that quitting never can. So as we conclude today, let's consider your life and business. What about that goal that you've had for years? What would happen if you re-engage, not perfectly, just intentionally? The people who ultimately accomplish remarkable things are rarely the people who never struggle. They are rarely the people who never fail. More often, they are the people who learn the art of trying again. They understand that success is not one decision, but thousands of decisions. The distance is conquered one step at a time, one choice at a time, one day at a time. All you need to do is take the next step. Then tomorrow, another. Greatness is rarely achieved by those who move the fastest. More often, it's achieved by those who continue the longest. In the end, that's what it means to go the distance. And that's how extraordinary lives are built. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend and join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.